Welcome to Make Your Shit, a podcast about empowering creatives like yourself to overcome obstacles, the real ones and the ones you imagined, to push through moments of doubt and indecision, to find the joy in the work that you want to do, and ultimately, to give yourself permission to make the shit that you want to make. I'm your host, Kyle F. Andrews. I'm a screenwriter, actor, producer, and creative advocate. I've spent the better part of the last decade helping artists, industry pros, and people who didn't necessarily see themselves as creatives take strides to break into the business, hone their skills, and most importantly, find their voice in an industry that just doesn't want to listen. A little later, I talked to Shauna Darabi about her feature paranoia thriller Canary Trap and the crowdfunding campaign currently running for the film over at Seed and Spark. Before I share my chat with Shauna with you all, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the rebrand. That's right, we are back, and we are picking up where we left off, talking to artists about the shit they're making, sometimes while they're literally making it, as Shauna is. As you can see in your podcast app, what was once a show called Make Your Stuff has been given a new PG-13 title, including a big ol' expletive, clear as day. Well, there's an asterisk in there, but your mind is filling in the blanks, so you know exactly what it says, you dirty birdie. So, why the rebrand? Well, I'm a big believer in trying new shit, but I'm a bigger believer in trying shit again. After all, what is writing but rewriting? What is acting but reacting? What is directing but redirecting? What is producing but Okay, well, those first three anyway. You know, as much as I like talking about stuff and things and all that, the word stuff never really felt like it captured the essence of the work that you and I are all trying to do. The often frustrating experience that comes with making shit happen. The down and the dirty of getting into the muck of your art. And it is muck sometimes. And you're rolling around in it and you're stinking up the joint. And in all the chaos and all that mess, you somehow end up with a final product that is worth every minute you went through that shit. Of course, just because it's hard shit doesn't mean I have to be a jerk about it, you know? So for those who have listened to every show that was Make Your Stuff, you don't have to be concerned that I'm going to become some kind of Howard Stern for entertainment industry professionals. No, this is still going to be, at its heart, the same show it was before. A friendly, informative, occasionally awkward, and somewhat silly show about being fearlessly creative. We're just going to talk about it from a point of realism, rather than fantasy, because this is hard shit. And it's also some of the most worthwhile shit you can do. So, let's get a little messy as we help you find a way to make your shit happen. In that spirit, my guest today is Shauna Darabi, writer, director, and producer of Canary Trap, a feature thriller she recently shot in Brooklyn and currently needs your help in getting across the finish line. The daughter of Trinidadian immigrants and longtime Brooklyn resident, Shauna concentrates on telling stories featuring female and BIPOC characters and working with diverse crews. She's long been passionate about storytelling, especially using genre fiction to tackle modern, everyday issues, big and small. Shauna is the winner of the 2021 Devery Freeman 35 Memorial Award in Screenwriting for her sci-fi horror feature Devotion. Her horror fantasy pilot Wolf and Root was a 2020 finalist, and sci-fi pilot Clones was a 2020 semifinalist, both for Almanac Screenwriters Episodic Lab. In 2022, she co-wrote the Weekend Women's Film Challenge short Trouble Connecting, and this year, her action feature Supervillainous was a WGA East and Film Nation New York Screenwriting Fellowship finalist, and Clones was a finalist for the Circle of Confusion Writer Discovery Fellowship. You can currently view some of her narrative, documentary, and commercial work on her website, mybotworks.com. Her film Canary Trap is currently raising funds on Seed and Spark. In this film, Canary delivers packages for secret organization HQ. But after accepting her latest mission, Canary is connected with a boundary-pushing dispatcher, forcing her to go against HQ's directives and question everything and everyone around her. Oof, just love that logline. As of today, May 30th, the campaign has raised about half their funds, with just under 10 days left. Please, listen to Shauna share her experience with this amazing project, and then head on over to seedandspark.com/fund/canarytrap to show your support. Don't worry, we'll have the link in the show notes. You know, we say it all the time, filmmaking is a team sport. And this is your chance to be a part of the team. Help Shauna and her dedicated and diverse team of fellow actors, filmmakers, and other artists finish out strong and make their goal. Once again, that's seedandspark.com/fund/canarytrap. Now, on to my interview with Shauna Darabee. Shauna, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So before we get into Canary Trap and the campaign that you have going for it, which is going right now on Seed and Spark, tell me a little bit about your journey as a filmmaker. Did you start out as a writer-director? How did you get into this career?
So weirdly enough, I started out as a fashion designer. I'm the child of Trinidadian immigrants. So that whole idea that I could go to film school and like pursue a career to become like James Cameron or something just was not on the table. But I really wanted to do something creative, even though I had no idea how I could be a filmmaker, because I'd wanted to be a storyteller in some way since childhood. So I was like, how about fashion? So I went to FIT in Manhattan, right on 27th and 7th Avenue, studied fashion design and worked in the fashion industry for a while, designing kids' denim and junior denim. Yeah, I've designed so many embroidered butterflies in various shades of purple and pink and soft blue. I never want to look at an embroidered butterfly ever again. Became very frustrated with not doing the thing I wanted to do. And then I had my son, and there's this whole crazy thing of when you have a child, suddenly you realize you could die. It really brings your mortality into focus. And it was like, oh my God, if I don't do this now, I could possibly go the rest of my life working in a career I don't particularly like and having never done what I dreamed of. So I parlayed my skills, my Photoshop and Illustrator skills, into starting to do graphic design work. And I learned After Effects and did a fair amount of motion graphics work. I worked on various commercial projects. I did videos for like finance companies and stuff like that. It was
the
very
good stuff. Exciting. Yeah.
I can say one of the cool things is I worked for one company that did motion graphics for Teen Mom 2, and got to see an episode of Teen Mom 2 that I did some of the motion graphics for TV while I was in Sweden visiting my mother-in-law. So that was pretty insane. But the most awesome thing was sitting in the theater watching, watching Happy Death Day 2 and seeing the weightlifting lobster I animated appear on screen because the main character was watching Teen Mom 2. And I just like leaned over to my son and was like, I animated that lobster. I was so ecstatic.
That must be the best why not me story I have ever heard. Seeing your animated lobster on TV and going, if I can make that, what else can I do?
Yeah, it was really awesome. So that was like a really cool thing. Like, it's my biggest uncredited project to date.
And did doing that work, that kind of work, give you a foundation from which to build on?
Yeah, it definitely made me, for one thing, learn about editing, because most people I know learn editing and then go towards motion graphics, and I went backwards. So I learned the harder to use program first. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, it just had me in a spot of thinking about editing while writing and thinking about, I guess you would say, a more holistic everything of the story kind of situation. So that was really cool. I eventually took writing classes at like NYU's School of Continuing Education. I took a short story writing class with an amazing professor, Susie Mies. She was awesome. After that, I, funny enough, saw an ad on Craigslist where someone was looking for a 10-page script. And I was like, I'll do that. And I wrote The Trail that day. And then when I finished writing it, I was like, well, I want to film this. So I found my line producer in UPM, a husband and wife couple. And
two for one deal on that one. It made it easy, huh?
Yeah. I made The Trail. It was shot out in Long Island on a gun range.
Oh, wow.
All places. We got
a real Long Island experience there.
Yeah. So we got a gun range to look like a forest trail. It's really awesome. And it was a beautiful location. And then the next year I decided I wanted to make another film, and I made What Happened to Candace, which was oddly enough inspired by a short story in which you get to see postcards. Someone is writing about this insane fantasy adventure in fairyland they're in. And I thought, what a neat idea to like get this very elaborate story where the listener is just not involved whatsoever. And it's done for like a wee budget and filmed in a weekend. So with What Happened to Candace, the entire story is told through an answering machine. And I had the fun of finding an answering machine from the 90s on eBay.
In this economy, huh?
Yeah, lots of people are selling answering machines on eBay. It's amazing. I still have the answering machine, which my husband is like, when are you getting rid of this? We do not need it. And I keep saying, we might make another movie where we need an answering machine. So
good notes for budding production designers, by the way. Get on eBay and you'll find all the technology needs that you need for that 90s project you got.
It's amazing the stuff that's on eBay. And the funny thing is the 1990s answering machines, super affordable, 1970s ones, very expensive. And I'm just like, what does anyone want with a answering machine from the 70s?
Well, that's right, because this Canary Trap is your third film, correct?
Yes, it's my third film.
And I mean, after the foundation of those other two, it feels as though you walked into this knowing what you wanted and you gave yourself the task of creating a paranoia thriller. My goodness.
Definitely have discovered a love of 70s paranoia thrillers. I really wanted to capture the feel of those movies. I'd long been a fan of Brian De Palma. I would say he's just got this amazing visual sense, which is heavily influenced by shit. Oh my God, I was about to say shitcock.
Well, hey, this show's now called Make Your Shit, so I think it fits perfectly. We're going for that edgy attitude.
But heavily influenced by Alfred Hitchcock, so I was a big fan of his. And then I recently got to finally see 3 Days of the Condor, which I've like mind blown, and rewatched Taxi Driver because I'd originally seen Taxi Driver when I was like 20 and I was like, oh, I do not like this. And rewatched it as a adult, and it's like, oh my God, why did my 20-year-old self not like this? This is astounding.
Yeah, honestly, happy I watched Marathon Man when I was 30-something, because it's an amazing movie that I would have hated when I was 21, because I wouldn't have understood why it's taking so long, why I'm being deceived so often.
It's just so amazing, those films, and what they were doing that back then, and oh my God, a blow up, Brian De Palma's blow up. So great, and it's great. I know it's influenced by Blowout, but rather than the main character, John Travolta, obsessing over a photo, he's obsessing over a sound recording he was making late at night because he's a Foley artist for a horror film. And I was just like, Love that.
As someone who makes film and appreciates film, that sounds like a perfect sort of approach to doing horror, a horror conceit or a horror thriller of some kind. Speaking of which, what exactly is Canary Trap about?
I would say it's about a lot of things. The official log line is Canary delivers packages for secret organization HQ. After accepting her new mission, Canary is connected with a dispatcher who pushes her boundaries. Forced to go against HQ's directives, Canary finds herself questioning everything and everyone around her.
I am already nervous for her.
But on a deeper level, it goes beyond being a story about espionage, and it's actually a story about mental health. And that was the big inspiration for writing the story. I met someone whose sibling had mental health issues, and also slightly influenced by Memento, where we got the story from the main character's perspective, just 100% from his perspective. I thought, how cool would it be to tell a mental health story from this character's perspective, but not make them dangerous or scary or crazy? Because that's so often done, especially with female characters. And I also wanted to tackle the fact that we don't really see women of color on screen with mental health issues. I think I can't think of a movie that tackles that beyond maybe Oprah's character in The Color Purple, and that was being put in prison and abused related. So it's really a story about coming to terms with needing help and asking for the help you need.
It fits the MO of the paranoia thriller. You do wonder, is it me or is it everybody else who's an issue here? And I'm really taken by the fact that you have said that we're going to do this and we're going to explore it in a way that we've never explored it before, which is by having a diverse cast and a diverse crew. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you went about choosing the people for this production, which we should say is already wrapped? We've wrapped up the movie, and we're very much now it's about getting it put together and getting it out there.
Yes, exactly. So quite a few of my crew members I found because I had worked with them on Weekend Women's Film Challenge, which is this really insane program where you're teamed up with a bunch of women that you've never met before to make a film in 4 days. Mm. And I was selected to be one of the co-writers on my team. It was Team Mahoney. We were given the genre on the Thursday at like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Our genre was family drama, which we were just like, okay, none of us write family dramas. My co-writer was a comedy writer, and I'm more sci-fi and horror for the most part, with the occasional thriller or action feature. And we wrote we wrote Trouble Connecting in in 12 hours.
My goodness.
That was written in 12 hours the Thursday, and then we started filming the Friday, wrapped filming Saturday night at like 1 a.m. and then it was edited on the Sunday. And our director Lee Milby was super, super, like, her concept was pretty much, we have all this free equipment, let's not just do a short film that takes place in one room. Let's go to town, because equipment is expensive and we've got nice equipment. Let's make something amazing. And we did. It had multiple locations and it was spectacular. But through that, I met our script supervisor, Maria Castillo, who's an amazing script supervisor. And the production designer slash art director, Jennifer Pappalardo, and my assistant director, Chelsea Courtney. They just pulled everything together amazingly. And Jennifer is just like, you can give her, she's like the MacGyver of production design. You can give her some gum and a straw and she will make the most amazing thing you've ever seen, and you just be like, how'd you do this? And she does it in a day. She did an amazing job with Canary Trap. I just can't get over what she did. Yeah, she's just really great. I'd reached out to her and I was like, would you like to work on this? And she said, of course. And she pulled it all together and it's astounding, and put everything back together so it looks like we were never there. So
you have, of course, the film, you have the actors brought on board. Now you have the process of making it, but of course, your campaign still needs funding, because just because things were made doesn't mean this is just the beginning of the process for you. And film is not, even if you're making it with friends for a couple days in Long Island or wherever you may be filming, especially this one may have been a little closer to home, it's not cheap. So in terms of the campaign, when does it end, and how much are you looking to raise?
Oh, so we are looking to raise a terrifying $20,000 for production costs. It's daunting. And of course, every morning I keep waking up like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? And we've got some fun incentives. So we're giving away a mysterious answer key because we're regularly putting out some coded messages, and that you could get the script. They're going to be amazing posters. There's set photos by our actors and crew from behind the scenes. And we also have a professional behind the scenes photographer who I worked with on the trail, Alexander Paulus. He is super talented, amazing photographer. He actually did a headshot for our PA, Emily Goldstein, who did not have a headshot. And we got one of our makeup people, Maria, to do her makeup, and Alexander took her photo just yesterday on Sunday. So that was very exciting for her. And this is the first film she's ever worked on. So
you know, you can always judge the quality of a film set by the way it treats its PAs. And it sounds like your film set must have been awesome.
As someone that remembers being a PA, I've PA'd on sets and been an office PA, I very much remember the terror of that work. So I agree with treating your PAs like human beings.
This is a very strong campaign. Every campaign is different. Each production is going to have different needs, different incentives for you to come aboard. This one, I love what you've done here. You have the video, which is so charming, such a charming video. You've brought on your actors to talk about how they got, I just want to throw some words that the actors talked about. It's intrigue, espionage, tension, anxiety, stress, and surprises, which to me, like, if a script's got all of that stuff, then it's already clicking together. What I find really cool, though, is you actually go into the wish list and you dictate exactly what the costs are for each individual part. What would it help if I came in and I say, great, I love, do you want me to do makeup? Do you want me to do production? Is it whatever I feel like I can best, like, what are my tastes are? How do you go about deciding what people should be putting their money to when?
For me, it's all about what our contributor wants to contribute to, because I know for some people, they're going to look at that and be like, you have to get insurance for a movie? That's insane. And yes, you need insurance even when you're making a short film, because things get lost or people get hurt and you want to be prepared for that. I would say our biggest cost was the camera gear. We got amazing long lenses for just really getting there and building up the claustrophobia. My DP, Frankie Turiano, who spectacular DP. He really went to town, because as soon as he saw the script, I shared my pitch deck with him and I was like, well, this is what I want to do. And he's like, I'm excited. I mentioned Michael Mann and Brian De Palma, Tony Scott. I was just like, he's just like, I get exactly what you want. And it was a great collaboration. But of course, when you're sitting down, you're like, we want loads of long lenses and we want to do certain things in this super fancy, well, I shouldn't say super fancy way. but some stuff was filmed in anamorphic lenses. So to really center our main character, Canary. So that was an important part.
I mean, this sounds like an incredibly professional production, in fact.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm in particular drawn by the idea of loneliness as a center. Before we go, can you talk a little bit about how loneliness came in as part of your conceptualization of this piece?
So I'd come up with the idea that this character's cover was being a delivery person, thinking of like an Instacart or Uber delivery person. And because these are people we invite to our homes on a regular basis, not knowing their names, not knowing anything about them. And honestly, it would be the perfect cover for a spy because they are the invisible people in so many ways. So I wanted to use that, but thinking about having someone do that and how lonely it must be, how you're delivering to people and they're not exactly interested in getting into conversation with you and finding out what's going on with your life. And especially during the pandemic, I started writing this in March 2020. And it was initially, oh, well, maybe this thing coming out from far away overseas will go away and we won't have to think about it. And then it suddenly became the only people we're seeing are our delivery people, because we weren't leaving home, and just thinking how lonely that would be. It's like everyone's stuck in their homes and we've gotten out of our homes and it's a lot of, we're stuck at work and we're stuck here or stuck there and it's alone. So really wanted to tackle that. It was impossible to not tackle that considering the conceit of the story.
Well, I am thrilled to see this story. Just from everything, the way you've described it, it sounds like it's not just an exciting thriller, but it's also going to be something that makes me think about mental health and how loneliness can drive us towards places that we maybe don't want to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Aside from your Seed and Spark, which again, I'm going to post the link in our show notes, socials, but aside from Seed and Spark, where can people connect with you and connect with the film?
I'm on Facebook. I'm the only Shauna Darabi in the world, thankfully. So I'm also on Instagram. My work Instagram is mybotworks. My personal Instagram is Awesome Shauna, because I am so very mature. And I'm Shauna Darabi on Twitter.
Of course, everybody listening, please go and support Canary Trap. Show the actors, the cast, the crew, everybody involved, and especially Shauna, that you can support from afar. We don't make anything unless we have the community there to help build it. We can't let the studios take everything. We got to help each other.
You know, I know it's tough right now. People have lost their jobs and they're trying to recover from the long stay at home. But whether you could give $10 or you happen to be super duper flush with money, come and help.
So I'll tell you, I'm hooked on the, I can't wait to get my cipher and my secret question. I can't wait to see. The more mystery that you can throw at me, the better, for sure.
Most definitely.
Well, thank you for stopping by, Shauna. And again, the film, short film, is called Canary Trap, and you can find it on Seed and Spark for the next...
Campaign ends in early June, I believe June 8th.
Awesome. I can't wait to see how this goes.
Thanks so much.
If you'd like to support the show, click that follow button, share us with your friends, and give us a shout out on Instagram and Twitter at MYS Podcast. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on Instagram at Kyle F. Andrews. For those listeners who'd like to go the extra mile and help me make this shit, we also have a no-pressure Patreon over at patreon.com/MYS Podcast. You can find these links and more in our show notes. I'm your host, Kyle F. Andrews. My consulting producer is Emily Castro. Our theme song is Keep On Dancing by Monday Hope. Until next time, keep making that shit.